Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, about Anna Kempner and the cruise, now homicide, as it is being labeled, on the Carnival Horizon. This just recently took place. Anna Kempner, 18, 16-year-old step-sibling sharing a room. The accusation, or the suspicion is right now, because he is a suspect as of this recording, that something happened there. Her cause of death has been labeled a form of asphyxiation, basically the neck type hold where you cut off the carotid artery and you do it long enough and you kill somebody. And that's what they're saying was her cause of death. Robin, when we tend to think about all of this in adult terms, if you hide a body, you must have murdered someone. You know, that's not always the case, but you know, some people are. There's other cases right now we're watching where Brian Walsh is trying to argue that right now. You know, the David case is right. We don't know what's going on there. But from a behavioral perspective, how different is a 16-year-old's decision making compared to an adult in a moment like this? Especially when it comes to that split second, what do I do when panic setting in versus, oh my God, she's passed out, she's not breathing, I should call 911.
Much less rational with a youth and adolescent before the prefrontal lobes fully form. So anyone basically under the age of 22 to 24 is going to act pretty goofy. Mm-hmm. And like that. And believe it or not, I looked up the stat. So here is actually the number that, because again, it doesn't make sense, because like if this was a mistake, our logical adult brain says, well, hey, if an accident happened, the first thing you want to do is pick up the phone, call 911 and get the, you know, local people on the boat there to come help and assist. But also Jennifer Coffendeffer with you earlier said this is a really good point too. She would have passed out long before she died. And the fact that he held that choke long enough to not just let her pass out but die, that was pretty traumatic. That was a lot of rage could be funneled in there. So that's part of it. But the stats on this, 16-year-olds, roughly 60 to 70% of the time, they're going to do that kind of reaction. They're going to try to hide the body. They're not going to report it. They're not going to try to pretend it wasn't them. They're not going to say it was an accident. 60 to 70% is what the recent stats are showing on that. So
that's
more common than you think.
God, I mean, I can see that's a scary one when it comes to like a body. Like, I get it. Like I scratched your car or something when I took it out to right. Burger King or like, and that sort of thing. But the concealing a body, like, that's I would think that would be a little more. I'm not screwing around with this.
How many times do we cover so much that every single moron that we cover on this, and everyone we've covered is a moron, everyone, doesn't matter the IQ at all, zero EQ, zero emotional intelligence, which, and even less so the younger you get, and that is their ability to problem solve and maintain emotional regulation. Zero, absolutely bottomed out. And that's why I thought, Bob Mott, I know, said it with you too. There's a damn good thing there wasn't a window.
Yeah.
That body would have been stuffed through it and in the ocean.
A window or right off the balcony. And there's cameras there too, but at a 16-year-old thinking,
they're not thinking cameras. No. He's thinking right in front of his nose. You know, the interesting thing too, you know, if you dive deeper on the behavior here, is I was just thinking about my own kids and how my kids solve problems. You know, we face we never see the world as a bad day or a good day. The day is just a day. It presents us challenges to work through. And so that's how a healthy brain and healthy family dynamic does things. Hey, if something happens, we come together, we work the problem, and we do what we can to resolve the issue and challenge that we're facing. And so what we have in here is not just the 60 or 70% of people doing this, but why did he do it?
Yeah.
Fear. He feared reciprocity first, not just from law enforcement or anything like that. He feared it because of the family. So there's a family dynamic going on there that's cascading on top of this of fear. Now, granted, yeah. Is that unusual or not unusual for a teenager to do that? No, they said the stats are really high that the first thing they do is try to hide the body because of fear. But if you, I can't imagine that in my family or your family ever happening like this, because it couldn't, because it was like, hey, that's a really bad, stupid thing, man, but we're going to work the problem. Yeah.
I mean, the dynamics of this family, without going into all of the details, I think very easy to sum up. Springer. If you ever watch Springer, this is that. This would easily fit onto that show.
And to that, I'm sorry, Tony, because I really want to bring that point up because I just kind of arc into it. I apologize.
Yeah.
When this first broke and I first saw the initial statements coming out, you know, a lot of times we'll ask, you know, what was your first impression? My first impression, it was family. We got issues. And here's why. The first thing I heard was, and I'm paraphrasing what I heard, this is what my brain absorbed, was that the daughter was sick at dinner the night before, went to bed early, and the parents then didn't see her again. She wasn't at breakfast and then didn't see her again or think anything of looking for her until around coming up on lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
That opening statement to me said, because when you hear of missing person, I think how my brain first works is, am I going to look outside family or inside the family? First thing I said, all right, we got to look inside the family. And it's not because anything's wrong, that they're right and wrong. What they did was the behavior was a little incongruent with what parents would typically do. Again, this is just typical. There's outliers all over the place. This is not to judge the way people are raising their family, not family, especially on a cruise, vacation, all that. But when someone says they're sick, again, this is only just what was reported. When a child says they were sick, they go to bed early. You don't check on them. There's other kids in the room that are also didn't report anything, not checking in with the parents. And no one's at breakfast this morning saying someone's missing or not knowing where she is. And so see what I mean? There's a lot of gap of time that there was not a lot of families. Again, we're talking law of averages, have guardrails.
Yeah.
And this the first thing I'm hearing is zero guardrails.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can see an argument on the other side for not being super concerned. She's 18.
She wasn't
feeling great, and who knows what the parents were told at breakfast by the ones who did come up? You know, she's sleeping it off. Who knows? And that will, if they said anything, which we don't know the answer to that, that will certainly play into it. Especially if they make a statement like she was sleeping or something, and she's literally under the bed. That would be different. I could see that, and it's probably a regular pattern of their dynamic of probably very loose communication. Is it super healthy? Is it the way I would do it or you would do it? No. I can see, but I can understand why there's that loose, because it's probably, again, this is all conjecture, probably just how they communicate. Good, bad, ugly, whatever it may be.
100%.
But there's,
it's a deviation of an arc of what you'd expect.
What you'd expect, but this family, if you look from what we do know, they're like this. It's everywhere.
And that's why I'm looking there.
Yes. And that's the thing. I mean, and if somebody wants to get into all the details of things that we've learned about this family, we have videos about it. I mean, just the mom alone who was not on the trip, her mother, the birth mother, oh my God, I broke down her hour or 13 minute rant about herself.
Yeah.
There's a video of that. And the allegations that were made way, way back when Anna was like, 4 years old or something, or even younger, the dad ends up marrying allegedly an 18-year-old that allegedly was the babysitter prior, and allegedly not there was a filing that was dismissed about an inappropriate relationship between the father and a minor. We don't know if the minor is the one who turned into 18 and became his new wife. That's what a lot of people are assuming right now. We can't confirm that, but we have seen the actual filing. I've gone and gotten that. The filing exists, but it was dismissed. No charges were ever filed there. So not in any way saying he's doing anything with kids, but obviously somebody felt uncomfortable enough to make this filing, and then he marries the 18-year-old. It looks a little weird. And that's normalized. And that's normalized essentially then for the rest of her upbringing. And then the 18-year-old becomes the mom that apparently she was a good mom, according to the strung out mom, allegedly. I mean, this is why I'm saying this is like Springer. And then there's a ton of allegations against the dad. Again, I mean, it's mudslinging left and right. Who knows what is exactly true? All we can do is based on what we've actually seen, like those filings and such. But again, just the chaos. That's the point, is the chaos. There's so goddamn much chaos here that was normalized around this girl by 18. Yeah. It's amazing that she was on, from what we understand, the bright path that she was on to escape this family and get on with her life and go do good things. She had very bright plans ahead of her, seemed to be very determined, was about to join the military, was about to embark away from ship, you know, Camp Chaos here. But unfortunately, Camp Chaos burned down first.
Yeah.
It's very sad, but these are the dynamics that she was around. When it comes to, obviously, they're going to be questioning the family. They're going to want to know what was going on. They're going to want to know if there's any sort of motivation here, any signs that something was going on with the 16-year-old towards the 18-year-old Anna. And this makes it a very interesting dynamic because they all have a self-interest, I mean, for the most part, I would think, to not talk, to not incriminate the 16-year-old, even though something might have happened. And most families are going to try and protect their own, even when there was violence against another one of their own. What kind of a challenge does that present to investigators when they're trying to better understand the dynamics of what went on here?
Yeah. As an investigator, I'm going to be obviously talking to all these people, but realizing that what you're getting is going to be a lot of chaos coming out of their mouths for a while as well. I'll tell you, the most interesting thing is going to be their cell phone data. I think there's going to be a lot of, if we thought we saw chaos and creepy now, I think as they start digging into the cell phone data for all these people involved, you're going to get a much clearer picture on what was going on there. Home computer, cell phone, and just sit back and watch that show, because from the first moment that I saw the smoke by that first statement, nothing to surprise me, because it's fitting a pattern that we've sadly seen before. I think it's going to get potentially darker than we've seen already. And I think it's not going to come from any of their statements. I think right now, I mean, each individual, like you said, is probably in their own personal survival mode. I think the grandparent, again, pure conjecture, grandparents, if they aren't completely connected, are trying to figure out the chaos because they probably presented a great 5-second highlight reel to the grandparents. And meanwhile, hiding the super ugly, dysfunctional chaos going on behind the scenes. I would not be surprised whatever is uncovered, because I think there's a lot there.
I mean, what is it going to mean here if we find out that there was warnings to whoever made the choice of who's staying in what cabin? I'm assuming the parental figures who paid for the cabin, I'm assuming somebody made the choice of who's staying in what cabin. I don't know who that is, but if it is someone that had knowledge, whoever that may be, if they had knowledge that there was an uncomfortableness, a threat, a whatever it may be between Anna and the 16-year-old, and that was ignored, and the parents or whoever, again, I don't know who it is, decided, well, we're still having y'all bunk together. That could mean a lot. The grandparents had said in an interview that And I found this to be interesting. They had said in an interview that, well, we said to the kids, you know, if there's any problems, you know, any blah, 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 you know, you can always come to our room. I thought there was an interesting thing that was brought up of if there's any things that the door was open, basically, that you can come to our room and everything is all good and you know, you'll be fine.
They had to say that.
That was an interesting thing to say. And that made me wonder a little bit about did they book the rooms but did not have knowledge? Because I could see that. I could see a situation in which the rooms were booked by grandma and grandpa. Pure speculation here. They have no idea there's anything going on here between the 16-year-old and the 18-year-old, any sort of issues. And mom and dad also don't want to tell grandma and grandpa that there are, so they're just telling the kids to suck it up and deal with it. I could see a scenario like that, where that the placement of the people is innocent. But I can also see a scenario where it's just completely ignored as well. And if it's ignored, that's what I'm interested in. Considering we've also seen the boyfriend, the ex-boyfriend of Anna, come out and say that he tried to warn the family about the uncomfortable, the bizarre behavior of the 16-year-old, allegedly, that he had witnessed on a FaceTime call with her earlier in the year or late last year. I don't recall exactly what the timestamp was, but it wasn't that far back.
Yep. So that right there from the boyfriend says to me that in a way that Jennifer did a great job talking about that too. It was impromptu. It was natural. It didn't look like it was fabricated when he gave that statement. Yeah. That's leakage. And so if the boyfriend that far removed is getting leakage, again, not of specifics, but there's some weirdness, there's some uncomfortableness, there's unhealthiness going on there, everyone in the family knows it. You can't be, there is zero probability that a boyfriend picked up on something on a FaceTime call in a split second that the rest of the family is not seeing. There's zero probability of that. And so what are people doing with that? It's either witting or it's like don't want to believe it. It's all these things that go into your mind. There's a lot of dark places you can go with it. And there's a lot of places of just plausible deniability. But either way, people inside the family knew there was issues. The grandparents don't make a statement like that unless they're getting some sort of, you know, tremor in the force or as I'm calling it, the wobble, you know, that there's a wobble, a behavior wobble there. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, this is the way human behavior works. If there's leakage and someone that far removed is picking up on it, not over multiple times, but just something like this, the closer you get to the wobble, the more pronounced it is and now to not do anything about it means that you are either involved in it, you're denying it and turn a blind eye to it. And so, and then when what would make someone, so say she has a problem with the 16-year-old as has been alleged or, you know, been insinuated by anyone. So what would inspire her to say okay to the room? Fear, threats, disclosure, shame, I don't know what it is, but so what, because remember, fear is one of our great motivators to do actions and to not take actions. You know, we saw it with the hiding the body, the way he hid the body was fear of being discovered. So why, if you're actually knowingly having a problem with one of your siblings or step-siblings, in whatever capacity it is, whether it's just threat of violence or threat of sexual assault, I don't know what it is, but there's a fear factor there. What would inspire you to say yes to going on a cruise with him and being booked in the same room with him? Fear.
Yeah.
There's no other reason.
What would it mean, just playing in hypotheticals here, in terms of charges against the 16-year-old, if the story ends at, you know, I was roughhousing, I did the chokehold, and it was a horrible accident. You know, I went too far. You know, I'm an idiot. I feel horrible. And that's it. There's nothing, and that there is nothing else, that there's no digital trail. There's no evidence that points to some sort of weird relationship or fantasy or whatever. There's just nothing. It's just pretty normal, run of the mill, you know, step sibling relationship shit. That's not looked at as criminal. If it just ends there versus they find a trail. Not necessarily if I'm planning on putting her in a chokehold and killing her on the horizon this weekend, but more so, whatever, something that points to frustration, anger, sexual desire, you know, rejection, something along those lines, something that would basically look like some sort of a motive, some sort of a pre, something, an emotion that happened pre, or a pattern of emotion pre-cruise that then looks like here it erupts in that cabin and now she's dead. How does that change the type of charging? Could that be looked at as a premeditated murder if it wasn't necessarily planned, but there was a lot of angst about it and maybe some sort of writing or evidence of it versus just nothing, even if it's not direct, you know, I'm going to kill her, but I hate her. Who knows? I'm pure speculation.
Right. Yeah. I, you know me, I don't know the legal side nearly as well, but I would, so here's where my mind automatically goes though, as you're describing that. And I'm with you. This isn't just a 0 to 100, I'm going to kill someone. This was an arc of behavior that's been established over time in this relationship. And also, it's also been part of this relationship because this is what makes this even a little bit more uniquely different than a typical homicide between two individuals. And that is, he's a 16-year-old and she's an 18-year-old and they're both living at home, which means, you know, where's the culpability of people that should have kept them separated and kept them safe? So I think that's going to play into this a lot, too. I think when they start interviewing people and they start looking at the digital footprints and they start looking at texting and they start looking at all the things go behind this, as well as they start interviewing teachers, they interview principals, guidance counselors, employers, all when this web is going to be really vast, I think, to mm-hmm. get a clear picture. But and once they have that clear picture, or at least a clearer picture, then they're going to know what to do, I think, more effectively about when it comes to charges. Because is it just this one, you know, misguided kid that everyone did all they could to prevent this thing from happening, and it was just a one-off, we thought he was healthy and we thought he got the counseling, he's on his meds and all those things, and it was just a freak of nature kind of bad event? Or was this a pattern, because that's what they're always looking for in cases, is was this a pattern and an escalation of going of this individual being allowed to go down the dark triad of abuse, of taking advantage of this abhorrent behavior, and it finally escalated into this and it was being ignored? Or was it a one-off? So that I think that's what they're going to come down
and
to.
And then is that criminal beyond what the kid's doing? You know, is it criminal if you're the parent and you're ignoring it? I mean, obviously, like in a school, this is not a school shooting, but we are seeing parents being charged now in school shootings where they can't just say, well, he's a bad apple. You know, he just, you know, kids are, you know, you can't predict it. You know, no, you bought him the gun, you ignored all these signs and all this. If it's something where, well, we ignored all these signs, all these issues that seem to be going on, we do not know the answer to any of those questions.
Right.
And it could be a mix. It could be a mix of, yeah, he had problems and we were getting him help.
Right.
And he still did what he did. Obviously, the more examples there are of the family trying to get the kid help, if there was indeed an issue here, there's so much conjecture in this.
For sure.
That, you know, that certainly plays to the reality, if in fact it is, that they were aware, but they were doing everything they could, because you can't just kick the kid out on the street.
Right.
So that's a fine line between kids are being kids, suck it up, deal with it, and we're getting really, really concerning warnings from our daughter and completely ignoring them. There's a difference between that and two teenagers bickering back and forth, and that's what they're really going to have to try and determine.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be, again, I think the cell phone digital footprint is going to be really paramount in this. I think they're going to learn a lot from that. And they're also going to learn a lot from interviewing teachers, friends, and other members of the community that had interaction with the family, the father, the mother, and the siblings themselves, too, to kind of see, to get a really much deeper understanding of the dynamics that were going on, healthy, unhealthy, or, you know, were they falling with a pattern, or was there just nonstop chaos? It'll I'm really can't wait to see what's on those cell phones. It'll be really interesting. And and it's not just for this time, and they're going to need to go back for a period of time to get establish this arc. You know, this is, she's 18 now. I would go back as far as when she's first started living with the dad, and the, and they were getting divorced from the meth mom.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, we don't know if that's what it, she said she was on drugs. We don't know what the drugs were, but one can make a guess considering one can make a wild guess, you know, considering, but according to her, it's a genetic gum disease that made her lose all of her teeth that her parents both had, who were also addicts, she says. So girl. Who knows? Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. The story that that will be of that arc of life from basically birth to her unfortunate, very young death is probably one where she lived a lifetime of trauma 10 times beyond average human being.
And that's why I say it's going to be a lot uncovered, I think, in this digital footprint. And as they do a deeper dive on this, it's going to take some time because this is going to, it's going to take some, a lot of leads are going out. And I know, just listen to Jennifer, you know, is they're going to, because we don't, and the Bureau don't prosecute, you know, minors. And so they're going to figure this, it's got a lot of stuff to figure out on that angle. And I really think this is going to be more than them just trying to figure out whether they're going to prosecute a 16-year-old as an adult, not an adult, or I think there might be, other things that we find get involved in this case.
I think they just cracked a freaking egg open, and it's going everywhere, and the yolk's broken.
And we might save other people because of it.
I agree. It's one of those where I think, again, my conjecture, my feeling is there's a lot of things here that have been skirting under the radar for a long period of time. I don't know exactly what they are, but this is the thing that got people looking at them, that got the authorities notified, that now has the FBI investigating it. And whatever had been flourishing or existing for grand old periods of time is now going to come out in the open, and it may have absolutely nothing to do with her murder. But who knows what else, when you have chaos like this in a family, you know, sometimes it knows no bounds. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope nothing. I hope there's nothing. I hope this is it and they can heal and move on. From what I've seen so far, I have my doubts. But
I hope it's just a horrendous, tragic mistake. Yeah. But likelihood of that is low.
We'll find out. Let us know your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. That is where you will find us. You're also invited to press subscribe. You're demanded to press subscribe. No, please, please do press subscribe. We really please, would please. Appreciate that. Trying to get to 100,000 subscribers before the end of the year. We're very close to it, so please do hit that. And also, if you're looking for a stocking stuffer, a gift, whatever you'd like, this is a great one this year. Unbreakable Alliances. It's Robin Drake's latest book and available wherever books are sold, so please do go and check that out. Until next time, for Robin, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another edition here of Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
with family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.